Bruce is here with this week's Sports Lit 101 and poetry for the next few weeks.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. My favorite year, it's one of my all-time favorite movies. You know, I was talking by email the last couple of days quite a bit with Colin Fleming, sort of commiserating about the way the world works in the publishing side of it. And one of the things that I feel badly about more than anything else are people that become editors who don't want to discover new things. And when I read for American Fiction, and it is sometimes 600 or 700 short stories a year, I can honestly tell you that every time I open a new file, I'm hoping to discover a great story. I want to be part of that. And so I choose to read blind, even though I could know the names and the biographies of everybody who sent me stuff ahead of time. I wait until I'm a little into the process. So that's why it was so great for me to discover for me a poet who's been around long enough that I should have known about him by the name of Kevin Carey. And Carey is spelled the way Carey spells his first name, C-A-R-E-Y. He currently teaches at Salem State University, but he didn't start out as an academic. And he's really, really good. And he's not just good as a sports poet, but like Ron Smith, like Phil Razor, like Randall Maggs, some of the poets that we've had on, when he writes about sports, it's really, really good. It's not that it's a poem about sports, but it's the way sports works in the world. And he's somebody that I've read three of his collections, and I will drop these off at some point for you, Rich, to look at before next week. And it's from Kevin Carey Press, which is C-A-V-A-N, capital K-E-R-R-Y, a very well-respected, a highly esteemed poetry press here in the U.S. And these three are not the only books he has. But he said something in an interview that I came across when I was doing some research that I really liked. It was with the Somerville Times in Massachusetts. When you reach a certain age, say 60 or so, things start to haunt you. You are well into the second half of the roller coaster ride, and you were looking back at what you left behind. Now, if it were simply nostalgia, that would be, you know, whatever. I can't even think about how that wouldn't interest me if it was just nostalgia. But there's a way of examining how the past makes your future that he's very, very good at. And because he's going to join us next week, and I want him to read a lot of his poetry, I'm just going to read one of his sports poems, and I'm going to preface it by saying this is a man who loves basketball. He loved it from an early age. He loved playing it. He played it in the gyms at the Charlestown Boys Club on Revere Beach. He's from Revere, Massachusetts, which makes him okay with me right along because I have two very good friends from that town. And his poetry echoes, in a sense, I think, the two worlds. You know, we talk about there being two Maines. In a lot of ways, there are two New Englands. Revere Beach is the oldest public beach in the United States. And it's been that, I mean, it goes way, way back. When you get to the north end of the beach, you get to you get up towards Swampscott and the like. You get into some pretty tony places, and the beach itself has had its better days. A lot of it has gone downhill. A lot of it's seedy. Sometimes it rebounds for a while. Sometimes it doesn't. And he investigates life in a place like that very, very well. When he mixes in the basketball, you can just hear the thump, and we all know exactly what it sounds like on a public court of one kid with one basketball.
Oh, I love it.
Taking the jump shots, hitting the backboard, doing all that kind of stuff. So this one is called Basketball, and this is the only one of Kevin's poems I'm going to read today. Basketball. I don't play so much anymore, but I coach seventh graders. How to make a layup, break a half-court trap, play a 2-3 zone. It's different from the days in high school when I lived for it. Shoveled snow from my backyard court to shoot around all winter, summer camps, state tournaments in Boston Garden. Now it's more about helping kids to feel good about playing, or sometimes keeping them from killing each other. Like last week when a redheaded kid punched someone and I asked why, and he said, "Do you want to know what he called me?" And I said, "Yes." "What did he call you?" And he said, "Fire nuts." And I realized then that coaching has little to do with basketball and more to do with not laughing at the wrong moment. Yet I still remember what it was like to get a new ball every Christmas morning. Still remember my father's voice in the stands. Still remember three throws in a state tournament game. Still remember weekends playing at the YMCA where Pete Pedro called us yardbirds for showering with our bathing suits on. In the schoolyard where I played for hours and hours, where I felt safe, where I fit in, where the names they came up with didn't matter.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. And it's only one of his really tremendous poems that have to do with basketball. There's a poem that people, I would encourage people to look the video of online, called Tobin Bridge. So it's a very dark poem but the video with it, you see it on YouTube, is really, really good, and it really shows Carey's range. I mean, this is a guy who is not a one-trick pony. He reminds me a lot of Ron Smith in that way, that he can engage topics that are very, very different. He's, you know, sometimes some poets write idylls, or they write only poems that seem to be born out of nature. Some are urban-only poets, but this is a guy who really covers a very, very wide wide spectrum. One of his books is called The 115 to Penn Station. One is called Jesus Was a Homebody. And then the third one that I have, Set in Stone, it has a basketball rim on the front of it. It has more of the basketball poems in it. But anybody who grew up in New England, anybody who has a drop of Irish blood in them, or certainly is familiar with a lot of the constraints of Irish Catholicism on people, we'll find these to be really, really good poems. I am so excited to talk to him next week.
That's good stuff. I love that description of the basketball court. And you know, it's got to be accurate. It's got to be those old chain basketball nets.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I was a kid, I don't think I knew until I was in the sixth grade that outdoor nets didn't have chains on them.
Right.
Because at my elementary school, that's what they had. And anyone that had one at home, and there were only a few kids who did, they had chains too, because they would say things like, well, if you have a net, it just rots out.
Right. But the unique
sound of a swish in the app. Go ahead, Rich. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, just that unique sound of the ball. And you could tell, I mean, the difference between, you know, a perfect shot and a good shot. You could hear that difference going through that chain net.
And the way that it slowed the ball coming down through.
Right.
You know, it didn't come straight through the way it does. And I was also thinking how sad the sound is when there's no net or no chain, when you hit a bat, when you're playing where there's just a rim, and it has that dull thud. Mm. It doesn't seem to have the liveliness that you get from the other two. So, yeah, I was really brought back, well, to Revere Beach, where I used to go with my friend Barry, and to Roland Marullo, who's a phenomenally gifted writer, and writes a lot about, he grew up in Revere, has written a lot about that. This really gets New England summertime at the beach, going to Kelly's Roast Beef, going to a bar for a couple of cold ones when the day's over. He's really, really good.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Look forward to more of that. By the way, I started reading the book on the called shot, and that is, as you've been telling us, absolutely wonderful.
It is. It's long, so it takes a while to read it, but it's really worth it, I think. I really enjoyed all the details I didn't know about that time and era.
Bruce Pratt with Sports Lit 101. Bruce, appreciate it. As always, you're going to stick around for a while, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm here. I'm good.